I want you to turn with me then to Acts chapter 16. In Acts chapter 16, in verse 1, this is Paul, and it's the beginning of the second missionary journey. You see that at the end of 15, where Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God, and he went through Syria, verse 41, and Cilicia, confirming the churches. So they're returning to the places where they'd been before. And in Acts chapter 16, verse 1, then came he to Derbe and Lystra. They'd been there before. That's where he was stoned nearly to death. And behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. You know, Paul, we're not going to talk about circumcision tonight. Paul knew that they didn't need to be circumcised in order to be saved or in order to keep their salvation or obey the law, but he did it for testimony's sake. Nevertheless, what we're going to talk about tonight is Timotheus. You understand that when Paul had been there before, and then when Paul came back to Antioch, he stayed there a long while. Then he had to make a trip down to Jerusalem in Acts chapter 15 because they had a big discussion about whether or not Gentiles had to be circumcised in order to be saved or had to keep the law in order to be saved. And after much discussion, it was decided that obviously they didn't have to do that. They were saved by the grace of God, but there were four things that were recommended to the Gentiles that they do. And that was that they abstained from meats offered to idols, from blood, from things strangled, and from fornication. So they were supposed to go back, Paul and whoever was going out, like him and Silas or Barnabas and Mark, and tell the churches, you're getting saved, but hey, there's some things you're doing you need to stop. Okay? Now, when Paul gets back to Derbe and Lystra and meets Timotheus, notice he is in verse 1, a certain disciple. A certain disciple. What I'd like to do is just chart quickly and in an abbreviated fashion some of the highlights in Timothy's life, and then I'd like to make an application to our families and hopefully later even to our children. Don't lose your place here. But I want you to go with me now to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to look at some highlights in Timothy's life, an abbreviated testimony, and notice something that's going on in his life that prepared him to go along on this journey with Paul. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. Paul is writing to Timothy. This epistle is one of what are called the pastoral epistles, 1st, 2nd Timothy, Titus, really telling these men how things should be conducted in their own lives and also in churches. And one thing that Paul notes about Timothy's life here is he says that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So in his childhood, Timothy didn't just win some Bible club awards. The Bible says, from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. One of the things I remarked to Bobby when he told me that Shannon wasn't going to be here tonight to play the piano, I said, you know, one thing that was common among the churches that we visited there in Australia is that they have depth. There's four guys, maybe five guys, that'll share the responsibility for song leading. They'll have, in some cases, limited numbers, but two or three piano players or people that can play. Sometimes they have others that can play instruments like guitars. Some would have small group of those that could play violin and flute and stuff like that, trumpet, to add to the music. And Bobby's comment was that we had a 19-year-old pianist Sunday, is that right, to play for us, and she'd come to visit us from Austin. And she said that she was the fifth of five children in their family and that she began taking piano lessons when she was 3 years old. What's the point? From a child. In other words, they're able to do what we'd like them to do when they get older because they start when they're very young. Well, we understand that about music and musical instruments. If they start young like that, they're going to progress. If you don't get tired of hearing them practice in your house, my parents got tired of hearing me practice. My dad told my mother, shut that kid up. That was the end of my piano lessons. But if you don't get tired of that. But somebody at home was taking upon them the responsibility to make sure that Timothy knew the scriptures in his childhood. Now look with me in 2 Timothy chapter 1. And we could see where this was coming from. Again, I'm just going right to the verse, not to the full context. Verse 5, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith. Unfeigned faith, it means it's not fake. It's the real thing. The unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. So he has a family heritage of unfeigned faith, meaning they're not pretending to be women of faith when they are in a congregation of people and then acting a different way when they get home. I asked Joel Dunbar, the missionary that we support down in Brazil, one day. There's five of them, five kids. I said, how in the world did all of you end up in some way in the ministry? And he said, he didn't hesitate. He said, that's easy. And let me say, this isn't going to guarantee that all of your children will end up serving the Lord. But he said it was the key to them serving the Lord. He said this, my mother practiced at home what my father preached in the pulpit. And that's what these women were doing. And Timothy picked up on that, and they were obviously involved in instructing him in the scriptures as he grew up. Go back to Acts chapter 16. So by the time that Paul met him, when he went to Derbe and Lystra, by the time he got there, you know, and here she is, she's a Jewess in verse 1, and his father's a Greek, so you've got this different religions, you know, represented in the house, which can oftentimes create conflict where the children just don't get anything because, you know, dad was a Catholic and mom was a whatever or what, you know, and that's kind of what you would imply here. But she, being a Jewish and also having the scriptures, made sure that her son had learned what she learned, evidently from her mother, and passed it down. Now watch, verse 2, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra, that's the city where he was, and Iconium, which is a neighboring city. Can you imagine young people in this church, your children growing up with an unfeigned faith and a knowledge of the scripture that is so prevalent, they have a good report among the people that are here and other churches that are down the road or in a neighboring city. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, today, while I was talking to the fellow that ran was high as an executive in the multinational company, finance company. He said, we were talking about some of this training that's necessary for missionaries is a little bit like military training. And we talked about the current generation. It's true in Australia, just like it is true in the United States of America. We say that each successive generation has lost some of the toughness of the generation before. We talk about the greatest generation, those young men that fought in World War II. Well, they were all born in the Depression. They really had it rough, and they were rough and tough. But they all said when they started having families, we want our children to have it better than we did. And their children all said, we want our children to have it better than they did. And so we've softened up. And that's a kind of a worldwide thing. So he was saying, we were talking about more young people being involved in some capacities in the ministry, like going to the mission field. And we were talking about graduates of big Bible colleges not going to the mission field where the hardships are pretty prevalent. And the question is, why? And part of it was, we've handled them in our local churches like an incubator. We don't want you to get strung out on electronics and video games and social media, and we want to put all the protections in place so that you're not harmed. And they're not thinking about serving the Lord in a capacity like Timothy. They're just thinking about staying out of trouble and staying right with God. Are we together? Rick is here tonight, but he's on duty with the emergency response team. Brooke, is it right? Do you think when he was a young man that he was thinking about what he ended up doing with as a ranger? There you go. He wanted to be that ever since he was a very small child. And that's what I told the fellow I was having lunch with. The people in this generation that we talk about, it's a softer generation. He said, yeah, but you're still producing men that are in special forces, SEAL teams and Rangers, Green Berets, that kind of stuff. And I said, yeah, but I think those were dreaming about it when they were kids. And they began reading about it and preparing for it and all that so that when they got older, they got as teenagers and sometimes in their young 20s to do what they'd always dreamed about. I don't know that our kids are dreaming about going somewhere else in the world to tell people about Jesus. But Timothy was, is the point. He was preparing in his childhood by knowing the Scripture, by observing and emulating unfeigned faith. And he was a disciple by the time that Paul saw him. And he was well reported of by the brethren outside of his own hometown. And when Paul saw that in verse 3 of Acts chapter 16, he said, him would Paul have to go with him, go forth with him. And Timothy did. Timothy went with him. Notice in 1 Timothy chapter 4, 1 Timothy chapter 4, as we go back over there, 1 Timothy chapter 4, Paul is just giving instruction after instruction after instruction in these epistles to Timothy. And in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, he's talking about, from verse 11, Timothy commanding and teaching people to do some things. You'll see that in verse 11. And then he says in verse 12, let no man despise thy, what's the next word? He's still young. He's still young. He's younger than some of the people that he's going to be pastoring. And Paul said, let no man despise thy youth. Do you see all of what turned... There's two epistles in your Bible that are written to this man. That's an amazing thing. And so he wasn't being neglected at home in all that was necessary to prepare him for what came several years or perhaps many years later. Now, look at one more thing, and then we'll make an application. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Well, Paul wrote two letters to him that are published and that are scripture. At the end of 2 Timothy chapter 4, which is verse 22, how many of you have a postscript, a little smaller type that tells you something about Timothy? Okay, you do. I do. Does anybody? Okay, Milton, you do. Some others. All right. Let me read the postscript to you. The second epistle unto Timotheus ordained the first bishop of the church of the Ephesians was written from Rome when Paul was brought before Nero the second time. Do you see what? From a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, the unfeigned faith of Lois and Eunice, the disciple that he became there in Lystra of a good report, now traveling with Paul. Imagine how much he learned about the ministry. As we've said, it's not taught, it's caught. And at such a time then, he goes on to become the first bishop of the church of the Ephesians. What a phenomenal thing. All right, so what I want to say to you parents, and since this is being recorded, any other parent that will listen to this, they don't become, generally speaking, the servant of the Lord that you might hope they would become if they start thinking about it and beginning to learn the scripture when they're already in their mid-20s. They may. I was 32 when I first started to read a Bible, so I'm a late bloomer. Some guys, I'm 70, some guys are retiring, and I told them, I'm just now coming into my stride. I don't want to stop now. I wasted a lot of time early on. But you've got children, some of you anyway, and some of us have grandchildren. And we have influence in their lives like Lois did in Timothy's life. If you would hope one day that they would possibly serve the Lord if the Lord would be willing, you got to start now. And it's not just on the church. We do have the classes. They're in Bible clubs right now. And the teens are in their teen class right now. Praise the Lord. But it doesn't happen 1 hour a week. Just like it doesn't happen that you're accomplished at 19 to play congregational music for a church by doing it 1 hour a week. You start in your childhood and you apply yourself to it diligently. And I saw that in that conversation. I've seen it in some young people that are now coming up and want to do things for the Lord. But there's a whole cooperation I can see. Mission trips like we've done in the past. But it has to be, it starts in the home, and we carry it on here with the kind of training that can be given to children and to young people that keeps them interested in taking care of God's business. We have more people on earth than we've probably ever had. I don't know what was here with Noah's flood. We got 8 billion people. And there are a lot of people that don't know Jesus Christ that could be reached with the gospel. And somebody in here can take that on. Some people in here can take that on if God is willing and you're prepared. I'll say this. Jesus Christ told us one of the things we need to do was pray. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth, what's the next word? Laborers into his harvest. When I think about that, a laborer is somebody who is trained to do the work of laboring in the harvest. We should prepare our children for serving the Lord in this capacity, and then if God calls them, they're ready and they have a desire. And if not, they'll do something to make sure that somebody who is called can go. What are you saying? When Ann and I were in Bible college, there was a lot of emphasis on missions, and we used to have conversation about this. We knew almost certainly that we were going to be missionaries somewhere. We just knew it. And we'd talk about it. Where do you think we might end up and all that kind of stuff? Well, here we are this many years later, and I'm not a missionary like the ones we just visited. I'm a pastor. But you know what we do? We do a lot for those missionaries, and the reason I'm concerned about it and like to keep it in front of our church, and that you're concerned about it as well, is that I had thought back then one day we would be missionaries. So all of that desire, all of that preparation wasn't wasted. It's just being manifested in a different way. We're helping those who go. My concern is we want to make sure there are still people who are going. I'm delighted that Robert is now pastoring the church down there in Kingsville. Delighted that Ori and Lizzie and the family will be heading off to Reunion Island. Delighted that we had the number of years we did with Josh here. Now there's a Spanish-speaking church in town. And I'm just saying, you know, come on, let's see some more, right? So in summary, bringing it all to a close, you have children in your home. It's not just a matter of letting them memorize a few verses so they can win the candy bar or the gift card when Tony gives out awards for the number of Bible verses that you memorized when you're in Bible clubs. It's getting an unfeigned faith and a knowledge of the Scripture that allows somebody like that, when they're old enough, to be able to travel with somebody like Paul and go out and make a difference in the ministry of the Word of God and eventually one day serve Him as Timothy did in a full capacity. What a remarkable thing. I've really seen that. There are lots of young people. They're here and other places as well. And I'm excited about the prospect that God's still going to put them, you know, in the work of the Lord. Father, thank you tonight for giving us a glimpse, an insight into Timothy's life from start, childhood, to ultimate first bishop of the Church of the Ephesians. That doesn't happen by accident. It takes lots of diligent work at every level throughout their lives. I pray God will be faithful to do that with our children as well, for we ask you to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.